schedule a meeting of the Dairy Township Board of Supervisors. If everyone in attendance would please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
May I have the roll call, please?
Member Matt Weir.
Here.
Member Justin Engel.
Here.
Member Susan Court.
Here.
Member John Foley.
Here.
Chairman Mark Moyer.
Here. Although it's posted within the meeting room, I want to advise those persons attending this meeting that it is and has been the policy of the township to take report all public meetings for the purpose of providing accurate minutes. At this time, I'd like to have a motion to approve the minutes from the October 11th, 2016. I'm reminded, I do this every time, John. I need to remind myself. We're going to, before we approve the minutes, we're going to invite those in attendance who wish to address the Board of Supervisors the opportunity to do so. I understand there might be some folks in the audience who would like to address the sidewalk and the walking path from downtown to the Hershey entities. We are going to have two public comment sessions, one in the beginning of this evening's meeting, one towards the end of this evening's meeting. We have approximately only four items on the agenda, and I think it might make most sense to entertain public comments on the sidewalk issue during the second portion of the public meeting so as to get the benefit of comments that are being made, potentially update on that sidewalk issue. Do we have additional information on the issue? If not, we can just roll right into the public comments.
No additional info other than what you already know. I'm happy to clarify here.
Okay. I'm just asking right now whether there is any additional information. If not, we'll just roll right into it. Okay. Excellent. Everything I just said, ignore. At this time, I'm going to invite those members of the public who wish to come up and address the Board of Supervisors. Those who do come forward, please identify yourself by name and your address. And I'd like to ask if you'd be so kind as to limit your remarks to 3 minutes or less. Wendy.
Okay, Wendy Lavelle, 204 Java Avenue. Obviously, I'm here for the sidewalk. I'm not going to address the sidewalk right now. I respect your request to talk about that at the end. But I do want to first actually say for all the people that are here for that, if you could stand up so we could see how many people are here in support. But what I'm really thinking we need to address is transparency and working together. As a resident of this town, I love this town, and I know that residents are extremely passionate about this town. When I moved here 4 years ago, I got actively involved, and I joined the Downtown Hershey Association board. And when I started on that board and we worked with the entities, you know, I felt like everybody was really working together. And I would have longtime residents comment to me, you know what, the entities are not on our side, they do what they want to do, and there's no concern for us. And I would sit there and say, well, I beg to differ, I really feel like we're working together and creating great things in the downtown. That being said, as I don't feel that way right now, I feel like the residents have gotten the short end of the stick. We aren't being heard or respected, and we're all on the same team. We all have the same goal, and as leaders, as the Board of Supervisors, as HENR, as the town manager, as Chris is the planner, you know, you are the leaders of our team, and you need to inspire us and get us on your side. And I feel like, you know, we have these meetings and, you know, we have articles in the Sun, but that's not how people get their information nowadays. And I feel like something needs to change so that we know what's going on throughout the whole time period. So, you know, I'll comment later on how I feel about the actual.
Why did you change that?
Yeah,
you
want to
comment on the sidewalk? Go ahead.
You go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So anyway, so I'll comment on the sidewalk. I feel like, you know, downtown, we've been spending all this time creating a more cohesive, vibrant downtown community. We've been looking at walking and engaging the public. I'm also on the Coalition for the Partnership for Healthy Communities, which some other people in here are on as well. We've been doing a walkability assessment of Derry Township, and one of our goals is to reduce the obesity epidemic. So you have all these different organizations basically with the same kind of goals. We have a perfect opportunity here to create something where the residents of towns who are already proud of living here can walk easily to Hershey Park. And I don't feel that the people that actually do the walking were even able to voice their opinion. And one of the reasons, Chris, we hired you to be involved in the town was because you did the post-it notes and you engaged when we were doing interviewing. He engaged everybody and had us share our thoughts, and then we had the community do the same thing. So I know that you're also working somewhat with HENR, and we had talked about doing that, but I don't understand why these things don't happen ahead of time. And if you had come to the public and created a forum, even if you were going to still do what you're doing, at least we feel like we're being heard. You know, parents that walk are the ones that understand the sidewalk. You can look at it from a design perspective, but that means nothing because they're not the ones that understand what it's like to walk. And I think as township supervisors, it is your job because you are representing us. We voted you in to support us, that you need to put pressure and say, listen, maybe this was just a oversight, and the benefit of the doubt, but we really need our residents to be heard on this. And we have an opportunity to create a very walkable, healthy community, and we know we need that. And we're not doing that. And now we're almost done with the path. I really like to call the path to nowhere because it's going so far away with no lighting. You know, I would not let my son go walk there by himself because I don't feel it's safe, and 30 minutes longer to walk. But it's too late to fix that, and nobody came to us. And so everybody wonders why the residents think that Hershey Company and Hershey Entertainment, you know, like, that's why they don't believe in you. Do you know what I'm saying? And I just feel like we know better, and as a leader, you know how to inspire people and inspire the public as well. Get us on your side, because we are advocates for what you do, and the same for you. So I just encourage you to be more transparent, share in different ways, and, you know, I don't know what's going to happen with the walkway. It's very disappointing. I know I have kids here that want to share their thoughts and many, many other people here who want to share. So I'm going to let other people talk, but thank you.
Thank you, Wendy.
So I'm Michael Malunik, 113 West Granada Avenue. I have my two children here, Matthew Malunik and my daughter Anastasia. If you want to hold this, Matthew, please.
I really like walking to Hershey Park, and when the path got built and now we can't go the shorter way, I think that's unfair because by the time I get to Hershey Park, I'd be so tired I probably won't be able to go on any of the rides. I think that that's unfair because also the path's unlighted, and I mean, it can be scary walking out there. I hope that this problem gets fixed soon. Thanks.
Thank you, Matthew.
I really like to walk to Hershey Park, and Hershey Park's fun, but if you are an adult, you might be able to walk the whole way, and if you're a kid, you might not even be able to walk the whole way with getting to Hershey Park and still having energy to walk the whole way to your favorite ride and back home. And I feel like I bet I wouldn't even be able to walk the whole way to Hershey Park. And I bet if that stayed there, I bet when I went to Hershey Park, I bet I wouldn't want to drive in the car because the path was so long to get there. Bye.
Thank you so much.
I don't think it's fair that we can't walk to Hershey Park, that we have to walk the long way because when you walk, wait,
Take your time.
I think before you change the path, you should have at least asked the kids or the adults, because the kids are the people who are getting their parents to buy season passes and walking to Hershey Park. And also, walking is a great way to get exercise, and we have a big problem with obesity in kids.
Those are great points. Thank you.
So my children were able to give some of their personal insight. Thank you for that. So it seems to me like Hershey Park might be afraid of something like slips, trips, and falls on that, using that old pathway before the new park gets expanded, and we can't even use that anyways. But why are we making a hurdle? You know what I mean? Anytime you bar access to something, anytime you put up a hurdle, it's just going in the wrong direction. You know what I mean? Say, well, you don't have to walk there, but I mean, when have you ever heard about an awesome town where you can drive everywhere? I mean, that's not why people live in Hershey, you know? So there's no accolades for being average, for being ordinary, for being predictable. I mean, that I could see the park from my house, and it will make no sense to walk there with my kids when I could just drive with a season pass and park really close. Sure, that's an option, but I mean, why not walk? Why not reduce pollution? Why not save the parking spaces for someone else? When I first saw this path, I was like, yes, this path is going to go to the Giant Center. Finally, there's a way to walk to the Giant Center. And then after it was built, I realized that, it's, as Wendy said, it's a path to nowhere. I mean, you go all the way out of the way just to be, you know, abut the Giant Center and then have to walk all the way back. It's really an excessive, this is excessive, and it's not reasonable there. I know there's a shuttle in town that you can take. I mean, let's be serious. You want your kids to walk to Hershey Park, you're two blocks away from it, and now it takes half an hour to get there, whether you're using a shuttle or not. I mean, that's not an option that's, you know, not a realistic option. It seems like in the whole thought process, the community wasn't prioritized, and so I'd like to voice support for that the community be prioritized, that we don't get clumped in with the rest of the tourists that come to visit Hershey Park, that we're an asset, the, you know, people working in Hershey, living in Hershey, work at the park, you know, just build a teamwork. So I hope there's some sort of solution, because the elephant in the room is that the park is going to expand. So there's some sort of easy access to the park when that happens. It's a beautiful sidewalk. It just happens to go to nowhere. So I thank you for that, that time.
Thank you for your input. Would anyone else like to address the board at this time?
Kathy Seidel, 1312 Sand Hill Road, Hummelstown. Just to let everyone know, with the Hershey Park thing, when my daughter was a child, about 25 years ago, I could walk from my house in town through the path to the park, and I could come home, I could exit through the zoo and get home to my house in town. So this all says to me that we're going backward in not a good way. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy. Anyone else?
Bill Fisher, and I'm sorry I've been absent from these meetings. What do I do around Hershey? VP for the soccer club, for recreation, 300 kids. Volunteer for baseball. Softball, whatever's needed, I get involved. I'm the guy that drives through town when you guys are all working. It works. I have to always feel compelled to come up and compliment the township. We've got a great place. I see the police force where you need to see them, when you need to see them. I see the public parks and recreation people doing what we need to do to support us and all of our insanity and our craziness to support those 600 kids in soccer and the 400 in baseball. So, congratulations, we're doing wonderful things. Let's just keep doing that. And we hear a lot of negatives, but it's really not a bad place.
Thank you. Sandy, will you come up?
I agree with everything that everybody has said. I thought of two possible solutions. I don't know why township people with season passes couldn't enter through the zoo, make some kind of a thing on your pass where you can go in that way, or even use the old monorail entrance where the Hershey drugstore used to be. Just two other solutions, since the path seems to have been made already, and it doesn't seem like there's a way to go over, but the zoo and the monorail entrance would be two ways that we could possibly make an accommodation, because I love to walk, and I love walking to those facilities. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate your time. Anyone else?
Could I ask, Mark, if Sandy, are you planning on talking about the same topic? Okay. No, go ahead. I was just going to suggest when we are done with public comment that perhaps we hear from our transportation reps who've been working on this, and maybe Chris and perhaps Garrett from HGNR can provide some background.
Okay.
Sorry, Sandy.
That's okay. Thank you, Sue. Sandy Ballard, 650 Cocoa Avenue. And I have to admit, I have not tried to walk over there recently, but I thought that that road still physically exists and there's a gate blocking it now. So I don't think it's too late, but I'm going to hope it's not too late. And I was trying to find it, and I just haven't gotten there yet, but John Dunn might have better luck than I do. But we had a public meeting about this situation when Hershey Entertainment and Resorts wanted to expand into Parkview Golf Course, and we talked about it, and I, as I recall, and I'm getting old now, Mike, so I don't recall things so well, but as I recall, there was a group of people in the room, and maybe somebody else was there, someone who commented on your post or Facebook, Wendy mentioned it too, that I thought we had discussed that, and that I thought, and Garrett, you know, again, I'm much older than you are, so I could be forgetful, but I thought that the folks from HERCO thought said that at this public meeting that until that area is going to be developed, and Parkview Golf Course is not going to be built out next year or anything. It'll take a couple of years to write up some plans and whatnot. And I thought until then it was going to be okay for people to go ahead and use that walkway to go in. And I'm sure, you know, if we need to repave, you know, a little bit of the road or something to make it walkable, no heavy trucks, you know, and we'll make sure all the people who are overweight like me take the long route. But, you know, families could still walk through there just until that we all know that, you know, the park's going to expand right through that area, and then it'll be a moot point. Nobody will be walking through then. But until then, if there would be a way, and since Garrett is kind enough to be here to face these children, which is the toughest audience here, I'm just throwing that out as perhaps an opportunity to have a dialogue about, you know, maybe a few people like Wendy could meet out at that site and kind of look at things a little and see if it'd be way temporarily until Parkview Golf Course area is developed to let people still walk through. The path will be useful later, you know, when Parkview is all paved over, as they say, all due respect here, then we can't go that way anymore. But just until then, you know, that's what I thought. So, and I don't mean to ask, but I didn't know if there any openness to that.
Thank you, Sandy. Rich? Come on down.
So, Richard Gamble, Hockenville. Hey, Sandy, nice seeing you again. Just a little funny thing. I used to tell Sandy, we used to always meet at the Sunoco station and discuss things with the township. Well, just a thing on a funny note, we were there the other day and we were talking about it. Somebody said about walking it, wanting to walk it, but it was nighttime, he was afraid to because he was at the Giant Center. And he said the only reason they did that is they don't want us to walk, they want us to park and collect the $15 parking fee. So that might be the reason. Who knows?
Thank you, Rich. Anyone else like to address the Board of Supervisors at this point?
Hello, Jess Demopoulos, 204 West Arriva Avenue.
I'm also the owner of several businesses, obviously. You all know me from the Chocolate Avenue Grill and a couple other properties in town. I absolutely love this town and everything that we're doing and working together. And I've been walking to Hershey Park for 15 straight years pushing strollers because I have children 5, 10, and 15. I've managed the old path, and even though it was sometimes kind of shady there, but I can't tell you how often I saw that path used. There was always people on the path with me, whether it was daytime or nighttime, any day of the week. I think it, you know, as we all say, it's essential. The new path, I really do like how wide it is, and I think it is great for a volume of pedestrians. I would love to see bike racks in Hershey Park, a spot for us, because I've always wanted to ride my bike there. Sometimes it gets a little rough walking all day long with your kids and then walking back out and up the hill to our houses, which most of us are uphill outside of it. So I think, you know, obviously I'm hoping we'll have a resolution to this, but could we also include a bike rack or two there that is in a good spot where it's not in other people's way, so that we can also have another alternative? And I definitely love the idea of being able to enter at the zoo, because I think you know, that just it's a low cost way for you guys to make us happy, and that's a good thing. You know, I can't tell you how many times that I have sent customers at my restaurant to walk there. They'll be staying at the Days Inn and they'll want to know how to get there, and I tell them the big roundabout way, or I say, dodge the traffic under the underpass and, you know, you work your way down, and they have very much appreciated that. It's just a lot easier. So, you know, I know that we'll figure this all out, but I love everything we're doing, and Hershey has been so good to me and my family, and I think, you know, equally I've been good to Hershey as well, and I'd just like to see that we make a resolution here. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anyone else?
I'll make mine short. You've heard me before. That's Dennis Trout, Locust Lane, Hummelstown. Middletown Road obviously is on the agenda for the traffic study. I'd like to propose that the township work a little more outside the box, if you will, since over the last 60 years that we've been in the area, there's been for many decades proposals of a bypass for Middletown Road. It is dearly needed, but to do that now with all the development that has already occurred within Derry Township, I would encourage the township to work with the adjoining townships, the county, and the state to propose a bypass, perhaps in the vicinity of Fiddler's Elbow or the Middletown-Hummelstown Railroad right away, or just west of the sewage treatment plant along 322, that's obviously outside Derry Township. But there's going to be continued growth. We realize this, but you can't widen Middletown Road forever. Thank you.
Thank you, Dennis. Anyone else? Hearing none, Garrett, would you like to?
Hi, Garrett Gallia. Live at 835 Old Trail Road. I'm with Hershey Entertainment Resorts Company. Had the pleasure of working with many of you in the audience on a lot of different initiatives over the course of the years. I'm happy about that collaboration and cooperation. Appreciate everyone's comments coming out here tonight. Really, I'm here to listen. It's my primary role. My wife says I'm not always so good at that, but hope it's improving a little bit. I really appreciate your comments. Our number one fans, we couldn't do it without you, and really the support of the entire community. So it is a partnership that we have with the community, a very, very important partnership for us. It's critical. I hope everyone knows that. I know it may not seem that way sometimes, because I do also recognize the burdens that we place on the community and driving 5 or 6 million people through a township of 25,000. The good news is, and I'm happy to hear that so many people feel so strongly about Hershey Park and the memories that they've had walking to the park and the memories that they're creating currently going to the park. The park needs to evolve. I mean, it is a jewel, but it can't stay stagnant. It's not, we can't have something like that in our community that doesn't grow and evolve and change in order to be competitive with other tourist areas, tourist destinations, theme parks, and things like that. Nobody wants to see a park that isn't successful, especially our company and probably the residents of Derry Township as well. So we are looking forward to a master planning process right now. And as Sandy said, it's no secret that we need room to grow. We're sort of landlocked. So there will be a point in time that our front gate most likely moves from its current location. There will be a point in time where we do go across the road. We're very much knee-deep in that process now, trying to figure out what makes sense from a park perspective. So it's obviously a complicated process, but we do know at some point in time what you see where that walkway begins will be within the center of the park. So the hope was, in creating this new path, that the path would not be a path to nowhere, but it would be a beautiful new path, and I think it is beautiful. You may argue that it doesn't go anywhere currently, but it is a beautiful path with beautiful views. We've been working with the township to increase connectivity with what could be our front gate moving forward. So the idea is to have that path, although longer, be a path that does connect and does provide a walking access point for Hershey Park. I do understand everyone's point about it being longer. There's no argument that it is longer. That is a given. Some of the things we were thinking about internally about the old path staying open, once you take traffic off that roadway, there's not a lot of ambient light there. There's no traffic, so we worry about the security of people honestly walking to and from the park on a roadway that is no longer traveled by traffic. So there's a lot of blind spots there. There are a lot of dark spots there. The sidewalk is, not to cast any errors anywhere, but it's not in a great state of repair. The bridge is not in a great state of repair. So we were hopeful that we would be able to have this connectivity with the new pathway to provide a walking point and create a safer environment for everybody who did want to make a choice to walk and or bike to Hershey Park. We're not quite there yet. We think we will be there, and I think the township, I think I've heard some talk about looking at lighting options for that pathway too, so it won't be dark forever either. There are some very interesting solutions that have been proposed here tonight. I like to talk about bike paths. I'm certainly very willing to look at the idea of using Zoo as an alternative, shorter access point for members of the community. I think it is important that we realize that this is for members of the village of the community, because the last thing we want is for downtown Hershey to become a parking destination for people in Camp Hill or Carlisle. Nothing against those folks, but we have limited capacity, and that can't be the new secret way for people to take up parking in downtown and enter through through the Zoo. So that is something I'm really happy to take back and look at and see if we can make that work operationally. I think folks know that the Zoo closes sooner than the park closes, so that has to be a consideration. If somebody did want to enter the Zoo and they knew they were walking, they have to make sure they either left when the Zoo was closing or then took the longer way home through the new pathway. But these are all options we can talk about, and I do very, very much appreciate everyone's comments. And again, my name is Garrett Galley. If you do have concerns in the interim, I do take to heart the comment about transparency. We are trying to be as open as we can about things, and I think Sandy and many of the others who I've worked with know that my email is, my phone is always ready to be answered. So with that, thank you very much.
Garrett, thank you very much for taking the time and availing yourself and your open door policy to the folks in our town. Appreciate it. Now, if there aren't any other comments, I'd like to move for the...
Can I do it now, John? You're real.
Thank you. Approval of the minutes for the public meeting of October 11, 2016. Move.
Second.
By Mr. Weir. Second by Mr. Foley. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed, and those meetings are approved unanimously. Board of Supervisors meeting for October 11, 2016.
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Foley, seconded by Ms. Court. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, and those minutes are approved unanimously. We had previously indicated that the Derry Township Police Department was initiating a positive ticket program. And with us today is our Chief of Police to address the presentation of the grand prize winners. Chief?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If I could have Officer Herr join me up here. The Derry Township Police Department started a positive ticket program in July this year after the idea for the program was presented to the police administration by Officer Andrew Herr. The positive ticket program was modeled after a similar program developed by the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. It is intended to foster positive interactions between police and the youth of the community. Positive tickets are given by officers to youth who demonstrate good character and behaviors and show they have a respect for themselves, others, and the community. In addition to the ticket, a voucher for an item at a local establishment is given to the recipient of the ticket. At the end of this program year, which we would like to run during the summer months when kids are out of school, we are drawing for grand prizes to be given to people that we select our tickets from a bucket. So what I'd like to do is present these grand prizes. I believe most, if not all, the grand prize winners are here. So I will try to pronounce some of these names and have Officer Herr present the grand prize. The first one is both a Giant and a Sheets gift card, and that goes to Alistair Demko. Alistair, if you'd be able to step up and what's that? Okay, not here. Alistair received this positive ticket for wearing a helmet while riding his bicycle. Actually received that from Officer Herr. The next one, and I know I'm going to mess this name up, Gloire Hampton. Not here. Okay. Gloire is receiving a Fitbit. Gloire helped his or her great grandmother out of the house and cared for her outside during a structure fire. So he helped calm her down while that was going on. The next one is Nathan Dorson. Nathan's here.
All right, these are four complimentary tickets to a Bears game this year.
Once we're done presenting the prizes, we'll have everybody step up front here and we can do a group picture.
Nathan
was supporting his mother and being very respectful and polite, and that was given out by one of our community service officers, CSO Miller. The next one is Ivana Stoffel. Is Ivana here? Ivana won some passes to Christmas Candy Lane. And Ivana was locked out of the house, and she was waiting very patiently while locked out of the house while officers tried to help her out. And that was presented by Sergeant Singheiser to her. And the last one is Ruby Showalter. And Ruby,
here. You're the grand prize winner.
Ruby is receiving a Hershey Park season pass.
All right.
And she was sharing playground equipment and playing outside on a nice day. She received her positive ticket from Officer Herr. So
get a photo up in front of the ceiling.
Yeah, we'll be able to have grand prize winners that are here. Step up front, be with Officer Herr.
Chief, aren't you going to get a picture?
I'm going to get a picture.
What about prizes donated? Is that something that the community, those businesses help out?
Yes, we had donations actually from HE&R and the FICBA was actually a private donation from a citizen. And then the vouchers that were for the with the tickets were donated by local businesses such as Wendy's, Mr. Piazza Sorrento's, and a couple other businesses. And then to print out the tickets, we actually got a donation from the outlets of Hershey to print out the tickets for us.
Well, we certainly extend our appreciation to those businesses that were extending their generosity to our youth. Great job, guys. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
Our next item on the agenda is B1 and 2 is a presentation of the Middletown Road Corridor Transportation Evaluation by our engineers, HRG. Chuck?
It's a tough act to follow. The Board of Supervisors had commissioned HRG to complete the Middletown Road study with the intent of determining what traffic is on Middletown Road and trying to provide some short-term, mid-term, and long-term mitigation measures. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Eric Stump, engineer with HRG.
Thank you, Eric.
Okay.
And Brian.
And Brian. Sorry, Brian.
Press the button until you get the blue light.
Got it. All right. Good evening. I've been instructed to be quick, so I think that'll be the best way to go through this information. And if there's any questions, we can answer them as we go along. I think that'd be the best way to do this. And Eric and I will be collaborating on this presentation. So let's start off with the next slide. We'll go to what the purpose of the study was. And it was really to address a lot of concerns, issues, complaints about Middletown Road over the years, and to get an assessment of what the existing safety and mobility along the Middletown Road corridor was, and then to identify future traffic demands and potential improvements, and both in the context of short-term, long, mid-term, and long-term. And that's the focus of the study and all of what's going on in the township and along the corridor of how it might impact Middletown Road. Before we get into this, it's really important to understand in transportation the term about roadway classification, because that has a lot to do with understanding what our assessment is. Roadways are classified according to their character of traffic and service that they're intended to provide. And the best way to think about this is your local road that gets you to your from your house, that first road you hit. So that road's a local road, lots of points of entry on that, mostly driveways. The other extreme of that is an interstate, which are really called limited access highways. The exact opposite, no driveways, no traffic lights, and of course, higher speeds and higher volumes. And so the roadway classifications vary all the way in between. Middletown Road is currently what's called a suburban neighborhood community arterial, and there's a whole bunch of these different things. But the purpose is that there's different design criteria and different widths, different things that we'll show you later on how those roads are to function. Community arterials are placing more emphasis on land access while offering lower mobility. And mobility is speed and convenience as compared to, with a large regional arterial like a 322 would be or something like that. Okay. So I think, Eric, you're going to go over some of this information about background data.
Yeah, the existing conditions out there, again, it's currently, the roadway is currently suburban neighborhood community arterial. The middle column on this chart shows the typical design criteria for that classification of road, and then on the right side there shows what's actually out there right now. Traffic volumes along Middletown Road are about 14,000 to 15,000 vehicles per day.
travel speeds along Middletown Road. The posted speed limit is 35 miles an hour. We found travel speeds are generally between 35 and 45. The intersection spacing along Middletown Road is actually a little bit tighter space than what the design criteria would typically be for this type of roadway. And we'll discuss later on how that has contributed to some intersections that don't quite meet the warrant for signalization. They don't have enough side street volume because there's multiple access points, in close proximity to one another rather than funneling to just one or two access points. And then the lane shoulder widths are very much in line with a suburban neighborhood community arterial. The 12-foot lanes and 8 to 10-foot shoulders is certainly adequate for that type of roadway. The traffic volume along there, again, I mentioned it's 14,000 to 15,000 vehicles per day. Just to put that into some perspective, that's comparable to what we have on 322 between the 422 split and 743 in front of the Hershey Med Center, that part of town. It's also comparable to what we have on 422 east of 743 east of the square. So, again, it's significant traffic volume. Middletown Road, I don't think most people think of Middletown Road as comparable maybe to 322 or 422, but certainly there are, from a purely a traffic volume standpoint, there's some comparison. And then with regard to truck percentage, it's on the last slide, overall truck percentage was 7% along Middletown Road, which was a little higher than some of the other roadways in the area, so we looked a little bit closer at what was making up that 7% and found a good percentage of that was actually made up of your smaller kind of box trucks, FedEx, UPS delivery trucks, something of that size, with two axles but six tires. The actual tractor trailers or three axles or more really only consisted about 2% of the daily traffic, about 300 trips a day.
That's a relatively low large truck percentage.
And again, I mentioned travel speeds earlier. The posted speed limit is 35. We found the average speed was in kind of the upper 30s, depending on where it was along the corridor or in which direction. It varied. But generally speaking, most traffic was going, average traffic was found to be going in the upper 30s, and most traffic was within 10 miles an hour with the speed limit, which is kind of typical to what you see. So it's not a case where the majority of traffic is well over the speed limit. And we also looked at crash rates along the border. This was representative of reportable crashes, which are crashes in which there's either an injury or one of the vehicles is towed from the scene, and found that the crash rate along the corridor is actually lower than the statewide average for similar types of roadways. So again, generally not a big speeding issue, generally not a big, not a lot of safety concerns under the existing conditions out there. As an overview or summary of what we did find looking at the existing conditions, the signalized intersections, particularly near the middle of the corridor, at Stoverdale Road, down at Locust, they generally operate acceptably. There's not long delays on either one of those signals. But the unsignalized locations, even ones with less side street volume, just due to the mainline traffic, they have difficulty making left turns during the peak hours and operate at a failing level of service. Did find that the traffic volumes at two locations are getting close to the point where signalization could be considered, that being Wood Road, and then also the intersection with South Point Drive. And that was kind of a recap of the existing conditions, looking into potential future development and how that may change over the course of the next 10 or 20 years. There's some development that is imminent that's already been approved, is either constructed or will likely be constructed soon. And then there's other parcels, vacant ground in the vicinity that we accounted for and assumed some development on those tracks as well as some development down in Londonderry Township that may also have an impact down south of 283. That could contribute traffic to the corridor. And look, did those traffic projections for all those properties and then
kind of think, took a step back and said, well, realistically, all of this development is not going to happen within the next 20 years. Thought it was reasonable to say maybe 75% of it happened. So that's really what that bottom number on this table represents, getting how we get from kind of an existing traffic of roughly 15,000 vehicles on the corridor, add in additional traffic, and puts us out in the 23,000-25,000 vehicle range, which is a substantial increase over what's there now. It's more than 50% increase over what's already a quarter with some existing capacity problems. And just as a comparison, we did look at both the existing zoning and then the potential zoning changes that are being considered, and just to see order of magnitude, what kind of difference is that going to make, and the difference between 23,000 or 25,000 is kind of what we estimate. Maybe an additional 10% or so, but not to the point where our ultimate recommendations that you'll see later on would be altered one way or the other.
Okay, so it's back to me now. Back to functional classification. So what you heard in those existing conditions is the speeds are a little fast, the truck percentage is not excessively high, the traffic volumes are pretty solid traffic volumes, but lots of access points, probably pushing what's recommended for that classification. And so you'll see that here when we look out to the future with those different alternatives that Eric presented, that the traffic volumes are starting to push what the capacity, recommended capacity is for that classification of road. Speed limits, we're a little bit faster, but it's not generally excessive speeds, except for maybe those who have enjoyed company with the police out there. But here, this is, and we have some maps later on that you'll see, that is what's happened over many, many, many years. There's been a lot of access points allowed on the Middletown Road. And the combination of those access points with that higher level of traffic is why we're getting the frustrations we're having with congestion and left turns and not being able to get brakes in traffic. And we'll explain that a little bit later on. But without the benefit, with so many side roads, and as Eric pointed out, we don't get the opportunity to meet traffic signal warrants along the corridor. There's actually too many access points. And therefore, we are not able to get the signals in place to create the platooning to get people on and off the highway. Okay. Did you change that?
How did you? This is the regional arterial as opposed to the...
Okay, sorry. Yeah. So the next classification up is this regional arterial that we had referenced earlier. And you can see the differences as to what those types of roadways are designed for. Higher volumes of traffic, which are more consistent with the types of traffic level we're predicting. The speeds are about the same. It's still, we're dealing with the intersection spacing. And lane widths and shoulder widths are similar. But the things that we're going to show you a little bit about what other types of features that classification has can help address what we're anticipating occurring on Middletown Road. Okay, so I kind of got into this already. I tipped my hand. The future issues are the high density of access points. The increased volumes is going to exacerbate that. And people will start to realize increased delay at unsignalized intersections because of the lack of platooning in the traffic. So the side roads are going to be more frustrated to get to enter or exit the highway. You'll see more left turn lanes needed along Middletown Road to get out of that main line to wait for that gap. And at those intersections that Eric said are working so well, with increased side volume, those are going to start to degrade as well, which is kind of natural when you're starting to add more traffic. So this is where we're really going to tag team. So I'm going to kind of go through, these are the three different types of improvement considerations that we're going to talk about, and Eric will review them on the map to kind of give everybody an idea. So these would be the potential short-term improvements, and those are, I think, we said 1 to 3 years. So Ollie's arranged for some very simple low-cost stuff to some other planning types of efforts. We want to improve site distance at Colonial Way and South Point Drive just by trimming some vegetation. Actually, what Eric didn't mention is that a lot of those accidents involve deer collisions, and he'll show you the area along there. So we would recommend petitioning the Game Commission to consider putting the deer advisory signs up, so the deer know to cross at those crossings.
Did you ever hear that? That's
crazy. Restripe dedicated left turn lanes and a center left turn lane. I'm not going to go all the actions. We can talk about those on some of these. Signalize South Point Drive, improve traffic progression. That's going to help that platooning. Plan for some new roadways, and Eric will show you these on Wood Road, Road A, et cetera. And this is a tool to plan for those on the official map. Right, Chuck?
That's absolutely right.
That's right. Seek planning and funding. Now, this is key. Start seeking planning and funding sources for midterm and long-term improvements. That's something that we can do now, and we can do that through the process established for our MPO here through the Tri-County Regional Planning Commission. Incidentally, that's how Ridge Park Boulevard got planned and built, exactly that same process. Incorporate access management principles, including restrictions on access location spacing, that's important, as well as incorporate traffic impact study, new access point parameters. And just to explain that a little bit more, there's an ordinance that you can create to kind of manage access beyond what the current zoning subdivision land development ordinance is. Improving interconnectivity between existing and new developments. We have all the development there, particularly along the west side of and they're interconnected, but they're interconnected way far back. And so there's opportunities for interconnection closer to Middletown Road to allow folks to get to better access points and facilitate maybe more volume at a particular location so we can signalize it and create the opportunity that we need. So I think Eric's going to show you this. This worked seamlessly earlier.
Hey, here's an exhibit that kind of illustrates some of those short-term improvements and the... This illustrates along the corridor where some of those improvements that Brian just gave an overview of are recommended. There's, of course, the right turn lane that I think was just completed construction up here, 322. To come down, area through here is where we're recommending restriping this area as a center left turn lane to improve turn maneuvers, specifically onto Middletown Road. Down at South Point, as I mentioned earlier, the traffic volumes there were getting close to being the threshold for signalization. There may be some ways that we can push the volumes over the threshold in order to install a signal. Some locations where there's some trees and vegetation that's obscuring your sight lines and making it difficult to pull out, could to help improve the ability for drivers to see the gaps in traffic. And then down here is where we talked about, we saw a number of collisions that involved deer down through this corridor.
Those were the physical improvements. The rest of those were planning coordination and ordinances that can start help for what the future conditions that we expect to happen along the corridor. As Eric brings this back up, we'll talk about the midterm. Eric, actually, why don't you bring your PDFs up? I can go right off of this and we can keep speeding this along.
ask you a question while you're doing that? The saldo, Chuck, we're not updating the saldo. There's no plan to do that, right?
That's correct.
Okay.
I mean, as we need to, we adjust sections.
So these access points that you're talking about, that those would be updates to the saldo, right?
Future access points, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. The recommendation in the report does make some saldo updates.
Okay. And you said before that's something that PennDOT likes to see, is that right?
I'm sorry.
It's something that PennDOT likes to see.
Yes, certainly. PennDOT, thank you, Justin. As we're petitioning for some of the bigger scale things that we're going to be talking about, PennDOT really advises linking land use with transportation planning. And so these types of ordinances, these types of interconnections that we're talking about are very much helpful in collaborating with the department on funding for larger scale improvements. Okay. Is this the midterm?
Yes.
Okay. When I consider a right turn lane at South Point, I'll let you point these out, Mary.
Right turn lane down here at South Point.
Consider geometric improvements at the Route 322 eastbound exit ramp service road. Correct. Consider center left turn lane or a boulevard median with left turn lanes at critical access points and U-turns. Construct Road A or relocate Wood Road?
Let's relocate Wood Road here. Road A, we've been calling this Road A new roadway through this property that would come out of the traffic signal across from Gramercy Place.
This is going to help, maybe not those exact configurations, but this is going to help focus traffic into a specific location that then can be signalized and create better access off of the town road. Signalized road A, okay. And then coordinate these signals. We didn't mention that yet, but as we get more signals on the corridor, we can coordinate them, particularly with the newer technologies that are out there, create the platooning and traffic flow that we need to address mobility. John, we can go over those typical sections quick here. Zoom into that. So we'd be having that center left turn lane, and as Eric points out, that's going to help people entering the highway pull into the lane, get queued up, and then excel and get into the line of traffic. No, those are just left turns.
Same favorites around, right?
Okay, then finally would be the long term. And this is probably the most dramatic. So this is, trying to address those higher end traffic volumes that we're talking about. And this is consistent with that higher classification. Probably best to go over to the typical section here again, is that we'd be looking at two lanes in each direction with a center left turn lane up and down the full corridor to handle the traffic volumes and also to facilitate access on and off the highway.
Could you slide over that slide, please, so we can see where that is on Middletown Road?
That's a whole lake.
Direction.
How many houses are you looking to find out there?
322
and
3.
Right.
And Brian, that scenario we're looking at right there, that 75% development as the new zoning, would dictate us?
Well, that would be for either.
That's for either.
I didn't know that there was a big difference between.
It was less than 10%.
Yeah, it looks like. But either way, we need to make some changes.
These are the long-term improvements. Right?
This is the long-term, right?
This is being proposed long-term for 25,000 vehicles.
That's consistent with the long-term growth, right?
Yeah, cool.
Yeah. And that would be needed even if the rezoning didn't occur, you're saying?
Correct. If you want to go back to the that one slide, Eric, that showed the principal arterial. Just start from there.
Yeah,
echo more.
Is that right?
And back up to keep going back. All right, so stop right. Well, we'll start there. That's because this answers the one question. What we have done here is this line is imminent approved development, so it is not going to be affected by zoning or not. Right. These are parcels that are in the area that are being considered for rezoning. So what we did was we looked at what the allowable uses are and what the traffic could be generated out of those. And similarly, we looked at the proposed rezoning. Worst case, by the way. And then we looked outside the township as what might be happening down in Londonderry. So that when you look at those, and that's full belt out, that's the numbers, there's not really much difference. Now, it has a lot to do with market demand and you know, what wants to build there. That's part of why we assumed 75%. At some point, it's not fully going to develop. There's going to be not the demand for it, so people won't be interested in buying it. That's the point that we're trying to make, is not significant between the two.
Brian, on this slide, over what period of time were those existing numbers calculated?
The existing was traffic data we collected this year.
I know, over what period of time? Like, was this a study done over a week, a weekend, a day?
We had them out there for
about a week, and that was the average of the basically Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
So 3 days.
Right.
That evaluation for those numbers from the current.
That's correct.
Okay. And upon what data is the anticipated proposed zoning numbers? What data are those numbers based upon?
That's your answer.
Yeah.
Projections based on full development as an office park, which would be the worst, the highest traffic generating. The site
right.
plans that we saw that aren't that intense.
Right. So the for example, the 3,000 on east of Walton, though, what is that number based upon? I mean, I understand it's based upon business office or mixed
where,
use.
Where do we get that from?
It's
anticipated daily traffic that would be associated with the that use for that size of land. Based on data that the Institute of Traffic Transportation Engineers has put together. They've compiled a large database of traffic data for a number of uses throughout the country, and they've compiled that database. So you can say, okay, now if we have an office park that comes and develops here, this is how much traffic we could expect it to
an office park.
Generate. It was an office park. Was our
okay, which is significantly different than the uses permitted by Van Campus West, right?
No, it's permitted.
But
it took the highest density development option within Van Campus West.
Of course, provided
by
We had seen some sketch plans for that area and did a trip generation for that, which included some residential and some other components. And that actually wound up being less than this. So we said,
whatever the size of the server is today. And that was based on a national database?
Correct.
Okay. And the same thing west of Waltonville, national database?
Yeah, same source.
And what criteria did you use for the 1300? Was it also housing, mixed use?
Yeah, that was also office park.
Would that be more than residential?
Yes, correct.
Okay. The Ricker development, same thing. NPI retail, the number actually went down there. Why would the anticipated traffic go down based on the rezoning?
That was assuming distributed traffic that with Road A being constructed, some of that traffic is actually going to be able to, right now, that would be developed, 100% of that traffic would be dumped out onto Milltown Road, whereas with this rezoning, that further development behind it and ability to create the Road A and lead some traffic.
It's on the road. So it bleed off to
diversion.
Right.
Off of Milltown.
Yeah, so same amount of development, we assume, you know, under current zoning and proposed zoning. It's just distributed differently.
Okay, so that next slide then. So this is community arterial roadway. This is not the principal though.
This one's the principal.
Regional. It can, you know, with that level of what we're projecting, the other functional classification, we're at its limits, so this is where we move into the principal. And that type of, that's where you get the two lanes in each direction and a boulevard to handle that level of traffic.
It's similar to the section of road that's down by the 283 interchange and now currently has that two lanes in each direction, the center lane.
So,
question.
We're open to questions.
If there's, you know, there's a factor for consideration that was brought up in terms of sequence of events. In other words, it's been some people's experience that infrastructure doesn't keep up with development, and that if development occurs at a substantial pace, how long will it take then to implement all of the changes to keep up with that development along Milltown Road? And so a big question to ask is, how much pain will the people along Middletown Road have to bear before those traffic improvements are actually made to Middletown Road? Is there, in other words, what sort of, I guess, synchronization can the people along Middletown Road expect vis-a-vis development
right.
and road improvements?
Right. It's an excellent question, and you're right. So, you know, the ultimate goal with the recommendation would be two lanes in each direction, or I'd be happy. That's a long-term project just right. to get it on. So what do you do in between? That's why we broke these down into one short-term and mid-term. And so the timeline for those becomes a little bit more unpredictable because some of those are a function of developments and when that occurs, right? So we actually need some of those new roads in there to create points where we can justify signals.
Right.
So that's part of, I don't know when that's going to happen.
Right. It's a chicken and egg scenario. In other words, what happens hypothetically if a developer comes in and throws down a whole lot of development before any of these improvements are put in? Or does our zoning require those improvements to keep up with and be synchronized with the development?
Which is what those recommendations were for the Saldo and right. those types of things, yes.
Well, I'm just uncertain as to how the zoning ordinance requires that to keep pace with development as development occurs.
So, as Brian said, you know, part of it is in the Saldo. So, anytime that you develop property, improve property, you're looking mainly at your front door, at what's in front of the property.
Right.
Sometimes you can get some off-site improvements that are necessary to support the development. Coupled with our zoning then with the master plan process, that takes a little bit deeper look into the traffic and allows maybe more flexibility in acquiring the off-site improvements through the collaborative process of the conditional use.
If the master plan process is
if the master plan
selected
process.
By the developer.
Right.
And if it's not, then we're limited back to off-site restriction on off-site improvement.
Some of those ordinances would help that we're suggesting.
Right.
Some of those new ordinances that we're suggesting would help that as well.
Right, if the master plan process is.
Well, and some of it in the Saldo, although I've not seen the drafts for. I know they're making recommendations to improve the Saldo requirements for road improvements. I've not seen.
But and also, isn't a big part of this as a township being vigilant and planning and looking at our future growth and taking it to Tri-County Regional Planning and getting on the TIF. And can you make the argument that that's what hasn't happened over the past 25 years? Is that we haven't been vigilant. And so we in other words, it's on the township to be forward thinking and to stay in front of these projects. And not just sit back and wait for development to come to us and allow development to pay for everything. We have to be in front of PennDOT and look for funding. Is that
you're talking about good planning, good community planning, good transportation planning, and the Tri-County, that's a long-term transportation plan. Absolutely, that should be, if you remember, that's the near-term recommendations to start that now.
Right.
You don't want to say the horse is almost out of the barn, but better start it now rather than wait 20 years when it's completely
needed. Yeah.
Right. But that planning doesn't stop at that level. The planning starts right here with what we've just been talking about in talking about encouraging better access management to Middletown Road.
Right.
And through your official map and through all the other local planning tools that you have, it would be the way to start harnessing that right now and helping more of those near-term recommendations come to life.
Yeah, I mean, my worst fear is obviously that we change the zone, we get significant development, and the improvements on Middletown Road have not caught up to accommodate that additional development. And now we got a whole lot of pain on Middletown Road for a period of time until PennDOT gets around to doing what PennDOT needs to do, and we get around to getting the improvements we need to get around to in order to improve Middletown Road.
I think, Ron, aren't you, what you're saying is that regardless of whether it stays as is or it changes, we're still looking at the current problem, and then if we're at even 75% of development, either under the current zoning or the change zoning, we still have a serious issue we have to address. So I don't think it's keeping the zoning as is makes all the issues on those Middletown Road go away.
Oh, no.
Right.
Right,
but I'm not advocating for one or the other. I'm just trying to understand how it relates to traffic right now. And if you look at what your study shows, it doesn't look like there's a significant difference in the traffic. It's a problem either way, I guess is what I'm trying
exactly.
to say.
Exactly. It's a problem either way.
The question becomes, are we planning and preparing, or are we just saying we're satisfied with the status quo?
Okay. Getting back to that table over there, and I'm just, because to me, this right box over here, the right lane is in the prior slide, the future traffic projections. To me, the right side is a black box, okay? Those numbers are developed somehow, you put them in some sort of software package, you get national averages, and poof, you got numbers on the right there. And I don't mean to second guess the legitimacy or the accuracy of those numbers. I don't have that capability, so we depend on you guys as engineers to do accurate.
Mm-hmm.
So we can either accept these numbers on the right, or we can say that they defy common sense and logic.
But the numbers on the left are developed the same way.
Yeah, I mean, how else could we?
Well, no, the numbers on the left are actual counts based on 3 days of traffic. The top numbers are, right, and the left numbers are the same thing.
No. No, that's not correct. That row right there is developed on the 3 days of traffic count. Both, from there down, both of them are based on the national averages of the use.
Yeah, the same methodology.
But, I mean, what other tool do we have other than a crystal ball that no one seems to have? I mean, I would think that would be what you would do for any other community.
Well, I'm not, and that's why I said we're dependent on that. But, And maybe I'm just drilling down here based on the potential for, under the master planning process, under the plan campus west, east of Fortville Road, potential 525 additional houses, single family houses, resulting in 13, an additional 1,200 trips per day. It's basically what your calculations are saying.
Right here.
Yeah, if you
move along,
the
75%. Right. So assuming that you develop out those, a master plan is developed on the west of Waltonville under the master plan, and it's decided that they want to put single family residents in there, 525 of them. Your numbers are showing that the projected average daily traffic will
only go up by 1,200.
Yeah. Mind the numbers that we have on here represent the impact of these developments on Middletown Road, not the entire traffic generated by these developments. Now, there's access to Waltonville and Bullfrog Valley and other ways for that traffic to disperse rather than, you know, it's on.
Right, they can make a left instead of a right and go down Waltonville Road and Wood Road and all that instead of going to Middletown Road.
Correct. But in either case, though, the solutions that you're proposing are the same. We're back to focusing on traffic planning and forecasting.
Yeah, that's a good point, Susan, is let's just say that this was 10,000 more. Okay. The recommendations are the same.
And I understand from a traffic standpoint. I'm talking about a zoning standpoint.
I know, but I know they go hand in hand, but I think as we're looking at the traffic study and trying to evaluate its potential impact on zoning, and given the fact that the impact that they're saying is very similar at 75% or even fully developed, I think we should let them finish, you know, let's hear what the solutions are and then figure out how do we plan for that, integrate that into anything we're doing. Even if we do nothing, even if we did not make a single change to our zoning, we have issues on that road right now, as you well know, and they're only going to get worse even if we do nothing from the zoning standpoint.
Right, I understand that. My question was, again, the interrelationship between our zoning decisions and these projections.
Any other questions or comments? Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Brian. Brings us to items C1 through 4, adoption of resolution 1486, providing for the assessment of cost and expense of the maintenance of streetlights in the township of Derry, pursuant to section 2003A of the second class township code as amended, and also providing for the collection of
As resolution 1486 has the per foot rate for the streetlight assessment for this year. They're actually based on 2016 rates, and then they are billed with the 2017 real estate taxes. There was a slight increase this year based on PP&L's transmission charges, and the rates did go up between 2 and 7 cents per foot. But those are the rates established for this year's assessment.
Any questions for Jill on this matter? May I have a motion that resolution 1486 providing for the assessment of the cost and expense of the maintenance of streetlights within the township of Derry, pursuant to section 2003A of the second class township code as amended, and also providing for the collection thereof, be adopted. So moved by Mr. Foley, seconded by Ms. Court. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? And that motion passes unanimously. The last item on our agenda is consideration of releasing performance security and entering the maintenance security period for the preliminary final land development plan for Country Meadows of Hershey Plat 1251. Chuck, is that housekeeping?
It is.
So moved. Moved by Mr. Foley.
Second.
By Mr. Weir. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? And that motion passes unanimously. Correspondence, board, and committee information. Susan, can I start with you?
Sure. Nothing to say. Thank you.
Matt?
Last Saturday, the Derry Township Municipal Authority planted 140 trees on two of its sites, which are the dumbest, formerly turf, keeping the stormwater initiative. That's all I have.
Thank you, Matt. John? No report. Justin?
Nothing.
Okay, thank you. Starting with our departments, Chief?
Yes, a couple things. Just a reminder that Trick or Treat is the 27th, this Thursday. So hopefully everybody can get out there safely and enjoy that time outside. Hopefully it won't rain too much. The second is I was asked to bring up an item that had been discussed previously. We've done some research on it and bringing it up tonight for any discussion would be the possibility of reinstating a crosswalk on Homestead Road at Meadow Lane. So this crosswalk was removed as a result of an overall transportation plan for the school district. And there's been some discussion or some inquiries as to whether we can reinstitute this crosswalk at this location. So, just asked to bring that up tonight and possibly have some discussion on that.
Any discussion?
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up, Gary. I'm curious if any, just to refresh your memory, we talked about this, I brought it up, and it's, you know, it's a crosswalk that residents have brought up because you, when you look at an area, you would say there's a good crosswalk there. It's Meadow Lane, correct? Meadow Lane. So there's obviously a lot of people who use that intersection to get to walking paths and walk over the campus of Milton Parachute. It's also interesting to me that there seems to be crosswalks and crossing guard control in the morning at the elementary school and the high school, but not the middle school. Hmm. And it's an intersection that gets just as much traffic.
Yeah, red lights both.
Yeah. And so it would be, I think my understanding is to advance this, it would involve conversations with the school district. And then if it was something that we didn't want to even pursue in a discussion, it was recommended that our manager reach out. So there
it is. Is it more of a crossing guard issue?
Yeah, didn't the school throw a monkey wrench into that?
No. When there was a crosswalk, there was a belief that people were dropping people off across the street to avoid
getting having into a 45-minute
And they were, because I remember there were some near misses.
Yeah, you're right.
And you could argue because there wasn't a crossing guard there. But with the crosswalk removed and a busy intersection with no control, I have witnessed the one time, but I don't go there every day, but it was one time where a student literally, for a 10-15-minute period, you couldn't cross because the traffic just keeps going. So it's just odd to me that it's the one is the department and the school district does an amazing job there in the morning. There just seems to be this one intersection that really never.
Well, we have a liaison meeting that we're scheduling, right, Tim?
Absolutely.
Could you put that on the agenda for that? Maybe we ought to need to start dialogue about that particular crosswalk.
Yeah, I thought that's where we had left it. No,
we left it where Garvin's going to take a look to make sure it's even feasible to put a crosswalk in there.
And the answer to that question is yes, right? Or
it's a possibility. I mean, there are several factors we look at. One is that is the widest part of Homestead Road. Homestead Road is the widest at that intersection.
Which causes them to be in the road more.
I estimated the crosswalk there would be somewhere around 54 feet, over 54 feet long. Just to give you an example, across Meadow Lane, it's only 35 feet. Mm-hmm. So we're not quite double, but it's a pretty wide intersection to do a crosswalk. Plus, at certain times, with the transportation plan as they have it, you have a lot of traffic that exits out of the middle school in the morning and in the afternoon. So you would essentially create gridlock on school property.
Right, because nobody can get out and make that
by
turn.
By crossing people there with a crossing road. So there's several factors to look at. I don't think speed is a real big issue. I didn't see a real big problem with speeding in there. It's just the geometrics of the intersection itself that kind of presents a problem.
So you create gridlock in by having a cross?
Yeah, because you would have to stop traffic.
People could get out.
Crossings.
Yeah, but I would argue that gridlock now because people can't pull out.
Because kids across it anyway.
Well, that's another thing you have to look at. Crossing guards can only cross people. They cannot direct traffic.
But they are directing traffic, and they're doing a great job.
They can do it to clear the intersection until they have everything cleared up. But then beyond that point, they step off, and then they just let traffic flow.
Wait, just a second. They don't have a guard. Linda at the elementary school does an amazing job. She's in the intersection the whole time.
That's not a crossing, though.
There is a crossing there. Yeah. It's not across Homestead, but it's across the entry lane.
Yes, that's on private property.
Right.
That's not across the roadway.
Right.
If she's out on the roadway to direct traffic,
right,
she's not out to cross. The crossing guards themselves at the intersection where we're crossing students across public roadways.
Yeah.
There are instructions, and by law, they can clear the intersection after they cross kids. They can clear traffic out of the intersection, but then they have, by law, they have to step off and allow traffic to flow.
So you're saying she's not a crossing guard?
At that intersection, she is not crossing kids across a public roadway.
And so she's not supposed to be directing traffic?
I think her intersection, her location there, she's actually just directing traffic. The same at the high school, where we direct buses in and out to keep the traffic flowing.
Okay, so she is allowed to be directing traffic. So I guess I'm suggesting that that's what is needed in front of the middle school.
But she's not crossing kids across a public roadway.
Right, okay.
So that's why she's allowed to do what she does.
Okay.
It's different. It's different locations, different providers.
Yeah, right.
Some feedback from school during our last time. They may really be opposed to that for various reasons.
Okay.
And we'll get them, and then we can circle back to weigh in the school district's opinion on that as well, and maybe that can factor into our discussion.
Okay. That's good. Thanks,
Gar. Appreciate it. Anyone else with Gar? Bob?
We've been busy all month with the fire prevention. Everything's going well. We're looking to wrap it up sometime at the end of this month.
Thank you. Tom, how are we doing on the beach use supply?
That's not an eligible expense anymore.
Okay.
Not
right.
Anymore. Okay. I have nothing else.
Okay. Thank you. Barbara.
Thank you. One announcement. On November 17th, we have a special event happening at the library. And I'm inviting the board and anyone in the community to be present for that. We're actually being used as a location for a filming that will be on a Sunday Fusion program out of Harrisburg. The program we did earlier this year called Engage for Health, they want to put it on film so that libraries across the state can do it, can use it if they can't afford to do their own program or they don't have the space or time to have people coming in to do it with them. We have Dr. Dwight Davis from Hershey Medical Center who's going to be working with us, and the National Network of Libraries of Medicine and the Hospital Health System Association of Pennsylvania working together with the Pennsylvania Library Association in a group are going to be there. And we need audience members. So I'm inviting you to come and be a star on film.
Thank you, Barbara. Any questions for Barbara? Matt?
Just want to quickly thank both the Public Works Department, the Police Department, and the Fire Department for their assistance with this year's Halloween parade. So can't pull off those large-scale community events without all of your assistance.
It was a great parade. Well done. Thanks. Chris, anything?
Nothing good for tonight. Thank you.
Mr. Stump, here.
The only thing I have is construction is complete on the Locust and Java Storm Sewer Project. We had our final walkthrough yesterday, and everything is completed. Just waiting for the final pay application from the contractor at this point.
Thank you. And I'll note that the right turn lane off Middletown Road, anecdotally, has yielded marvelous results in terms of getting that traffic off. So. Chuck?
So we've closed the hearing tonight on the zoning ordinance. I was talking to Chris just a little bit. It seems that our next appropriate move would probably be to digest all, ours being the consultants and staff, would be to digest all of the comments that we've received in writing in both of the Planning Commission and Supervisors meeting, and then to make recommendations on at a staff level as to whether or not we feel they should be implemented. I looked at the MPC, you would have 90 days to take action, not 45 like I had said. You'd have 90 days to take action on the ordinance if you were to adopt it after the hearing. But in the meantime, we'll go ahead and analyze all that we've heard, try and get it into some kind of orderly spreadsheet for board's consideration. Okay. That's all I have.
Thank you. Lauren, anything?
Just a thank you to all the volunteers and township staff departments and community groups and organizations that helped to make Chucktoberfest great this year.
Great event, by the way.
Thanks.
Well done. Jill?
Nothing, thank you.
Jim, anything?
Just remind everybody our next meeting is Monday, November the 7th, because November 8th is election day.
Okay.
May I have a motion for approval of accounts payable in the amount of $1,995,165.75 and payroll in the amount of $316,318.38. Moved by Mr. Engel, second by Mr. Foley. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? And the approval is granted unanimously. We'll entertain visitor and public comments to the extent anybody has anything left to say. If you could identify yourself and keep your comments in 3 minutes or less, please.
Brother Dennis Carl, again, Locust Lane, Milltown Road. The information just presented on the traffic study showed one very important thing that seems to be glossed over, that the proposed changes to zoning increase traffic at least 10% over the existing zoning. That study neglects to show, because it wasn't in their charge, the costs associated as a result of this plan. But there is a target of opportunity here in that widening of Middletown Road is going to be costly to someone. And that Middletown Road is a state road. The state will probably be responsible, along with the township to some degree, and costs of buying up properties and relocation. Now, you have the tri-county planning process, and if a cost study is done, you may be able to lessen the impact by eventually looking outside Derry Township for that bypass. You have an intersection on 283 at Union Street, which would be a convenient connector to 283. It would be west of the Swatara Creek. You have options that would be anywhere from the M&H Railroad right away, Fiddler's Elbow, or undeveloped lands to the west of the sewage treatment plant along 322. But you need to look at those costs, and like I say, this has been talked about for decades, but the longer it is put off, the more development and that's going to occur in between, and the costs are going to escalate. And it hasn't been looked at as what would happen if you didn't put that Road A in, which is going to entice and expedite the development of the properties in that 55 acres, the Ricker property, and the Gateway East and West projects, which greatly add to the traffic on Middletown Road, more so if you had stayed with the existing zoning than this Western campus rezoning. Thank you.
Thank you, Dennis. Anyone else?
Hopefully I'm on positive. Phil Fisher, representing Hershey Soccer Club at the parade, and also represented the Boy Scouts at the parade. Awesome job. When we first started out, there was all the chatter of why we all this change. Oh my God, what are they doing to us? Why can't we march the old route with better lights? And stuff? But as we finished, they were all the parades for it. Again, great job. I know it was a very large endeavor. It was well received. The kids love it. Any feedback would be if we can get our sponsors to the kids at the end of the trail have little tiny bags of candy. The kids at the beginning of the trail have big giant bags of candy. They fund that, and a lot of those kids are outside the township. If we can make distribution points, instead of getting all the candy at the beginning, we can split three or four different spots along the way. And what we tried to do with the scouts is we took the wagon, we held it back from the scouts because the kids just want to keep giving out. And no. When we got up to chocolate, then we redistributed what was left over to help fill the little ones at the end. And that was the biggest feedback from everybody. It was a great event. It was. We didn't need to do that for any other hostage.
Thank you. Anyone else? I'll move to adjourn.
Second.
Second by Mr. Foley. In favor? Those opposed? And we are adjourned.